Wanting the torch is one thing, but what if you had the torch thrust upon you? When Martin Luther King III was born in 1957, his father was in his 20s. The name they share is now synonymous with the civil rights movement. Today, Martin Luther King III heads an organization called Realizing the Dream. Martin, welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about Realizing the Dream. What is it that you're set out to do?
Well, Realizing the Dream, I started after my mom passed, and we focus on conflict resolution, nonviolence training, targeted youth leadership development, and economic development as the three issues. Over the last 20 months or so, I've traveled to communities across America, from Appalachian communities to rural communities to Native American communities to urban communities, looking at poverty. We've been to about 37 communities. Our goal is to get America to focus on poverty. Even in this very difficult economic scenario for Americans, we have enough, I believe, to address poverty in America. I think that about a 15-year period, we could certainly reduce poverty by half. But we just have not had the will to do that. We have the ability, but the will has not been identified thus far.
Your father, of course, organized a Poor People's March, and now the economy is in such straits that a message like yours would seem to have a broad target. Do you find that people are listening when you talk, or are people so preoccupied with their day-to-day struggles that they're not really thinking about movement building?
Well, I find today that there's more of an interest than I've seen in a number of years. Part of it certainly is the fact that this has been an election year. But even prior to that, for the last year and a half to 2 years now, there's been an interest, a buzz from around the country, and particularly with young people. That's, for me, the most important thing. And we can and must do a better job. We certainly, as Americans, can do more.
On the website for your organization, Realizing the Dream, you are listed as an international human rights activist and political leader. What if you wanted to be a painter or someone who was an architect? Or what if you wanted to do something that was not in any way directly aligned with what your parents had done? Would you feel that you had the freedom to take a very different path?
Well, I would like to think that my mom, we were raised by, of course, my dad was killed when I was 10 years old, so primarily my mom was the one that raised us, and she always taught us to be our best selves, that we did not have to follow in the footsteps of our parents. But the fact of the matter is, their message was so prevalent in our lives and so much a part of the fabric of who we are that I don't feel I really had a choice per se. What I do believe fervently is that my mom would not have pushed me to do to go into the work that I'm involved in. But again, I don't see how one could be exposed to what I was exposed to and not have a desire to be try to be a change agent. But in the back of my mind, sure, if I wanted to be a painter or something different, maybe I could have done that.
Have you ever felt criticized or judged because you weren't your father and someone expected you to be?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm thankful that also my mom taught us, just be your best self. You don't have to be your father. And if I woke up every morning attempting to be my dad, I would fail miserably because the shoes are just too large to try to fill. But certainly I believe I can add on to what my parents did. And that's the way that I look at it. I'm very comfortable with who I am, not trying to be. I'm going to always be the best Martin Luther King III that I can be, putting and extending the portion third. Because, as I said, if I attempted to be Martin Luther King Jr., I would fail miserably.
You have a great love and respect for your mother, clearly. What do you see as her legacy in the civil rights movement and human rights?
She created an organization back in a time when our nation was sort of chauvinistic. She sustained that organization and created a memorial, memorialized his work. So in a real sense, what she did was continued what my dad had started, but today we have a holiday named in his honor. And I don't want to say she directly is responsible, but certainly she was very much involved.
Let's turn to Senator Obama. There is, you know, regardless of whether or not you even want to vote for him, he has in some ways already transformed the racial landscape in America. Do you see that as, you know, part of the dream?
Well, I certainly see it as a part of the fulfillment of a portion of my dad's dream. You know, until we address the issue around housing and health care, issues of housing, health care, jobs, justice, we look at a criminal system in America where people of color comprise 80-90% of that system. And so it's clear to me that the system is not operating appropriately for people of color. And so we've got a whole myriad of issues to address before we can say that we've achieved the full dream that Martin Luther King Jr. envisioned for our nation. But certainly Senator Obama and his ascension, and if he's elected, and I believe that he certainly can be elected, I certainly think there's a great opportunity that he will be elected. That will be a major, major victory. But it does not mean that we will have resolved all the issues around race in America. But I do believe that in a very short period of time, probably, well, I don't even want to state an actual date, but in a very short period of time, race, I hope, can be behind us as a nation.
Well, Martin, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Martin Luther King III is the founder of Realizing the Dream, which deals with sustainable initiatives in economic development, nonviolence, conflict resolution, and targeted leadership development for youth.